Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Director of Israel Committee Against House Demolition is on the line with us, Professor Jeff Harper. Prof, thank you very much for making time for us again this evening. Thank you for coming through. Good evening.
Thanks for having me on. Not everybody wants to hear my opinion.
Well, we know, and especially I think at this particular moment, it's a critical time. Everybody's been sending alarm bells, particularly the World Health Organization, saying that we are almost at a crisis point with the aid not coming into Gaza. Are you able to give us a sense of how bad the situation is right now?
Well, I mean, in Gaza, I'm not there, and I'm not involved with those sorts of things. I'm looking at it from a political perspective. I mean, Gaza is, in a state of advanced genocide.
Yes.
In other words, it's not only plausible genocide, as the ICR talked about, but we're really in a stage of an actual policy of starvation. The UN said yesterday that if within 48 hours, this siege on food is not lifted, 14,000 Palestinian babies will die in Gaza in the next day. So we're really at a point of actual starvation, really it's hard for me to say this, on a Nazi scale, something that we see in front of our eyes. It's mass murder, what's happening in Gaza. Even the army says there is no military, there's no objectives, there's nothing to destroy anymore. There's nobody to kill anymore. There's no engagement with Hamas because there really isn't any more Hamas as an organized military force. And so it's simply a matter of going in and killing people with the idea that somehow that'll get the hostages back, because he has to do that. But really with the idea, I think, of destroying Palestine completely, because this is happening in the West Bank as well, to a lower level, but certainly in the camps in the north, the ethnic cleansing of the West Bank by violent settlers and the army, so that this is a campaign, and the world is beginning a little bit to wake up, but only from the point of view of declarations being said by governments. So far, there are no meaningful sanctions, and I don't know if there ever will be on Israel.
And I was going to go there to say, well, we are starting to see some little bit of recognition by the European Union. You are seeing a little bit of hostility between himself and Trump, Netanyahu and Trump. And so do you think that's going to build enough pressure to get this to stop and, you know, to have some ceasefire?
Well, you know, that's an open question. You know, certainly Saudi Arabia and the Arab world want a ceasefire because they need a peace in order to continue with the normalization process. So on that side, you know, Trump, you would seem, would want to kind of control Netanyahu, which he can do if he wants to get to a ceasefire in order to move on with the normalization that's going to win him the Nobel Peace Prize. But just today, Israel pulled its delegation out of Doha. There's no more negotiations going on. And Trump is involved with you guys these days in the Oval Office. And on the other side, which we have to keep in mind, is Iran. You know, in the last few days, I mean, Israel doesn't care about Gaza. It's a side issue for Israel. They're looking at the big picture, which is normalization on the one side, of course, but also getting Iran. And this is the big thing, and there's been publications that Israel is in the last stages of planning an attack on Iran that it cannot do without American support. So here a whole other side kind of enters in, and that is, you know, Trump has said we're going into the fifth and maybe last round of negotiations with Iran in Rome. If that doesn't work, I think he'll give a green light to Israel to attack Iran. I mean, this whole thing was without any objectives, without any political strategy, without a plan. It's going to destroy not only Gaza and the Palestinians. This is going to destroy the whole region. And really, I think there's a real threat to the entire world community here, because who knows who it's going to pull in, if you attack Iran and so on. So, you know, this whole thing is just getting out of control. And Israel is like this rogue actor that everybody thinks, like Trump in his transactional way, that, you know, they can use Israel for some immediate end. But the ends are contradictory. normalization on the one side and destroying Iran on the other side, that I think would completely alienate the Arab world from the West and the United States, even though they're not on greatest terms with Iran. But I think that would do that. So we're in this crazy, almost catastrophic kind of catastrophe situation here on the ground and all the way up the international politics, in which there's no adult in the room. There's nobody saying what's going on, what's the policy, and there's no sanctions, and Europe is kind of out of it, and the rest of the world is out of it, and Israel's allowed to just create chaos in the world.
How long can Netanyahu hold on to power for internally in Israel?
He can hold on to power indefinitely. As a matter of fact, today he said, "I'm not going to promise that there'll be elections in 2026,
Wow.
like there are supposed to be, because he has a strong majority, 68 out of 120 members of parliament, that are absolutely with him. There's not one that will speak against Netanyahu. It's like the Republicans in the United States, and as long as he has that, he can thumb his nose at public opinion. More than 70% of Israelis are against his policies, want the hostages to come home, want this pointless war in Gaza to end. They don't care about the genocide, but that would end as well. And Netanyahu just doesn't care, and he can hold on to power indefinitely. Of course, now he's in, like Trump is, he's in this stage of discrediting the judiciary, discrediting the legal system, and even the military. And the Shin Bet and so on. In other words, he's really moving towards an Orban style of kind of what Orban calls an illiberal democracy, which is, basically a dictatorship. That's where Netanyahu is going. And he has the political support for that in the parliament, not among the public.
And how close do you think Trump could get to peace, a peace deal with Iran?
Well, I think he could. This Witkoff, I don't know how he got into this game, because he talks a whole different kinds of games. He's the mediator, of course, of Trump. I mean, Witkoff said originally, "We will allow the Iranians," in a very colonial term, tone,
Allow.
"we'll allow the Iranians to enrich uranium for civilian purposes," which is legitimate. A lot of countries do that, including Ukraine. They have nuclear energy for civilian purposes. And that would have been fine with Iran. I think from that point of view, they would have agreed and they would have come down from their military nuclear program. But then he changed his mind, or Trump changed his mind, or Netanyahu changed somebody's mind. I don't know what happened. And now they're back to this hardline thing of no, they have to completely get rid of any nuclear facilities, including civilian. The Iranians aren't going to do that. So the United States, for some reason that nobody knows, probably Trump's ignorance, has simply raised the threshold to a point where Iranian can't agree to that kind of a deal.
And what does that mean for Trump? Because, we are getting the sense that he doesn't want an escalation.
To say what Trump wants or doesn't want adds an element of rationality to this discussion that is not there. Who knows what Trump wants? Trump wants a Nobel Peace Prize. Trump has no idea what he wants. The world is being run by a crazy, ignorant guy. And what he wants are things like a peace prize. It's not a Kissinger political strategy. So it's very hard even to discuss it, because from one day to the next, everything changes. I think Trump wants a world kind of run by the United States. Everybody else would be a vassal. He loves the dictators. He loves Putin. He loves China, and he loves Orban and those guys. He would like a world of illiberal democracies, to use Orban's term. And so he has no problem with, I don't think he has a problem with the Iranians. He just, I think he just goes with the last opinion he hears. So he sits with Witkoff at 10 o'clock, and Witkoff says we should change the policy here, and he changes it on whatever. And then, 10:02, he meets somebody else. I don't think you can really put a level of rationality in, and I don't think any of his advisors or cabinet ministers have the guts to correct him or try to nudge him in a certain direction or suggest things even, and that really is kind of the crazy psychological way that the world is being run today.
Prof, you know, when you and I started speaking a few months ago,
Right.
you gave us the picture that Israeli citizens were in a way sort of sheltered from what was happening outside, particularly in Gaza and so on. And we were just obviously been watching ourselves that the citizens are starting to mobilize for ceasefire so that the hostages can come through. Is the sentiment starting to change, or is the focus still only on bringing back the hostages?
Well, the focus is changing. First of all, the hostages.
Yeah.
That's true. But it's changing from the point of view that I don't think, again, what's happening to the Gazans matters to Israelis. But unfortunately, I say that, but I think it's true. Bringing the soldiers are exhausted. I look at it this way, to the degree that it's a people's army in Israel, their kids are exhausted. They've been for 2 years already, almost a year and a half in Gaza, that are in the army. They're exhausted. They don't want them to get killed. Now we're beginning to get Israeli soldiers dying in this renewed escalation in Gaza and so on. And I think that's a red line for Israelis. They don't want to see another round in this war, not because of what's happening to the Gazans themselves, but because it's pointless, it's taking a lot of resources, the army's exhausted, the army doesn't want this war and has said so. And their kids are in danger of getting killed. And I think that's mobilizing the Israeli public. Again, the problem is that Netanyahu has such a stable government that he's disconnected. I mean, he had a press conference today that was even the Israeli news is amazed. That was absolutely disconnected. He's saying, what's Hamas after all? A bunch of, he called them, a bunch of people with sandals. He said, they asked him about this whole Nova event where 1,800 people were killed. He said, really nothing happened there. He's living in a world more and more that's illusionary, Netanyahu, and conspiracy theories. But and the public is against it, and everybody sees it, but he's got this majority that simply allows him to keep ruling, and so there's no power that is, our idea has always been, us liberals, that, the public opinion means something. That, people go out in the streets and they can vote and they organize and you have NGOs and you can influence government policy. That is not the case in a transactional world, the transactional world that Trump and Netanyahu have given us. Governments simply aren't sensitive, they don't care about public opinion. And they have their ways of actually disarming us by disarming judiciaries, by canceling constitutions, canceling elections, all this kind of stuff. And we become more and more powerless, I think.
I appreciate your time there, Director of Israeli Committee Against Home Demolitions, Professor Jeff Harper. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.